Good afternoon. Welcome to the General Purposes Committee. Can I ask for any apologies?
There's apologies from Councillors Milligan and Muirhead.
Councillor Johnson as well, please.
Order of business.
The order of business is as per the agenda.
Sorry, there's an additional item to go at the end of the private reports on the agenda, and it's the ongoing appeal regarding the Inverhaven House Hotel. So again, that's at the end of this agenda.
Any declarations of interest? So we'll have the minutes of the previous meetings of 4th of October, 4.1, 4.2. Could I have a mover and seconder, please? So moving on to item 5.1 on page 9. The reports to consider on page 10 and 11. Alan, I believe that you want to speak to this report.
Yes, Chair, thank you. This report is to seek authority in principle to introduce the power for private hire and taxi cabs to use electric and hybrid vehicles to do so. Midlothian is one of the few local government areas in Scotland which doesn't allow electric vehicles to be used as such. The Scottish Government's targets for pollution emissions are to introduce electric vehicles throughout Scotland. There are grants available from the Energy Savings Trust for electric car owners and operators who are missing out on the opportunity that we'd offer them to this. Obviously, this won't affect any existing taxi or private hire car drivers or owners. They'll still be able to run their normal cars. It just gives more flexibility and allows electric cars into the marketplace. There is one comment I would make, which is that I have my power to weight ratio wrong. I've been told that many occasions. But in this case, I had put 0.0690, and I understand that the industry is 0.0648 horsepower per kilogram. And I'd recommend that that's the change that's made to the conditions of taxi driver cars.
My own view is that we should be encouraging as much as possible the use of electric vehicles. I don't know if anyone else has any other views yet, Councillor Constable.
Oh, I'd agree very wholeheartedly about Mr. Turpey's expertise in horsepower to kilograms. It's mixing the metric and imperial, but never mind. I think there'll be a time come when we'll not be allowing petrol ones, not in my time, but in the future. They'll all have to be electric, and I think it's to be recommended.
I'll second that. If you're not...
Is the committee happy with the recommendations? Yep. So item 5.2, the recommendations are on page 14. It's a report by Director of Resources.
Thank you, Chair. At the moment, the Council doesn't have a policy or procedure for street naming and numbering. When I took up my post, this was identified as a priority to assist the team who deal with requests and also to provide guidance to house builders. The policy and guidelines, the application form and the specification of our street name plates will be available on the Council's website, making it easier for the public to access it and understand what happens. The policy introduced an administrative charge, whereas currently no charge is levied, meaning the taxpayer is footing the cost of this service. Furthermore, the policy puts the onus on developers to erect street nameplates in accordance with the specification approved by the Council's Road Service. Roads have advised that checks will be undertaken to ensure new developments have the proper signage and that it complies with the specification. Today you're being requested to approve the policy and procedure, including the level of charges for carrying out the function. Thereafter, the charges levied will be included in the annual review of charges undertaken as part of the annual budget setting process.
Thanks, Chair. I think this is to be very much welcomed. I saw a report in the press this week. I think it was Dundee Council where they had got similar street names and they had to spend an awful lot of money changing them, and it picked up quite a lot of the principles that are set out on page 18. I just wanted to ask, in terms of decision making, assuming that an application did fit the principles, there's quite often other local information that can sometimes be a factor. And I'm thinking about Rosewell, particularly where there's a housing development, which actually sounds like it should be in Bonnyrigg, for example. So I'm just picking that out, but I just wondered what the actual finished process will be and will there be any local involvement in that?
At the moment, the process is that names are usually approved or suggested by the provost. And we very much rely on the provost's local knowledge of the area. We are proposing, you'll see within the procedure, to actually have a ready-made list of names which would be suitable for the settlements, villages and towns in the area. That list has not been drawn up, basically because the policy procedure has not been approved yet. I would be fairly sure that the province would be looking for local input in terms of that. And the idea is to quicken up the process because we would have a list of names that would be suitable and had been subject to some form of consultation with the local member.
Thank you. I'm aware of sort of the history ways we've done a lot of street naming in the past. And I'm just presuming that I don't know if this is going to curtail the sort of class, you know, school classes actually doing a kind of competition for street naming. I'm also aware that a lot of local heritage has been fed in, you know, for different areas and different street names. And I'm presuming that none of this report affects any of that continuing, albeit through the maybe the provost office that the local information can be fed in. And the charging, you know, I'm aware that we've never charged in the past for street naming. When would the charges actually kick in?
Nothing that is proposed would change the current way of deciding a name. So if there was a decision that a school would be a competition, that wouldn't change. And any local input, I know that there's some members have asked for streets to be named, and I'm also aware that the province has agreed to that. There's never been any issues. In terms of the charging, it's proposed the charges will be brought in from the 1st of April because that's the new financial year.
Andrew, I represent Dalkey Dunderall and the big new development at Shaw Fair. There's a lot of local history attached to that area, so really we should make sure also that there's a local knowledge when they're naming places, because you see the mess community safety teams done with certain premises. I've got Merville Castle in at Shaw Fair, it's nowhere near Shaw Fair. But anyway, it'd be good if local people, whether it's the community councils or the schools or whatever, but there's some local knowledge when they're naming the streets, because one of the areas of the new town at Shaw Fair, it's Craig Kearney, and that's the original name. That's why it was Craig many, many years ago. That was the area, Kearney Farm, and it's good that they're keeping that name, or they're going back to the original name before the colliery was there.
I said there's not going to be any change to the way the streets are named, you know, in terms of any consultation or how it's done. So there'll always be an opportunity for locals, whether it's through the elected members. As I say, the provost has, in my experience, has always taken on board anything that's been passed to him and has decided to name a street. And I've been here for 6 months with the name that's been suggested.
I move the recommendations, convener.
Committee happy to approve the recommendations? Yep.